We're looking for Psalm 112. And the psalmist begins this way, and we've seen it over and over, but we begin this way once again. Praise ye the Lord. You know, we are in the section that's talking about praise. It's not going to let up now until we get to the end of the book. Again, without trying to bore you, I hope that you spend your time praising God instead of spending it any other way. Praising the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Oh, how happy is that individual that reverences the Lord. The Lord is important to that man or that woman, that person. The Lord takes priority and precedence over everything. Oh, how happy is that individual that reverences the Lord and that diligently or delighteth, I'm sorry, greatly in his commandments. The one who says, I've got a hunger and a thirst for your word. You've heard me pray it. I hope you pray it too. Give us a hunger for your word. We need your word. We need you. We need to know what you're thinking. We need to know what you want. And his spirit will teach us and guide us. But we need to get back to the word. And we're drifting as a society, as a church, the church in America, drifting away from the word of God. We need an anchor. You know, you get out there on the lake in that boat of yours, no matter what size it is, if you don't throw out an anchor and you just stop that motor or that engine, whatever you're using, and just let that boat ride with the waves, you're going to drift. You're going to drift quite a ways from where you were to start with. Now, maybe that's fine with you. Great. But have you gotten out of the Word? Have you decided, maybe I don't know if I'm going to do what God says? What's happening is you're now drifting. Oh, yeah, you're His, but you drift off. We don't want that. Look. Oh, how happy is that individual that reverences the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments, to do what he says. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Notice, God will bless. God wants to bless you. And I think our problem becomes not that God stops blessing, but as we learned in the New Testament, that you and I have a tendency to step out from under his blessings. Blessings continue to flow. The Lord wants to bless you and I, but many times we place ourselves in a position outside of the blessings of God. God wants to bless you. God will not bless my disobedience. Although he loves me, he's not going to bless that. You and I living in open, outright disobedience, God will not bless that. He still loves me, but you kind of step out. We used to joke about Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, and we would say, I want to be down there under the spout where the glory comes out. And it was a joke. Of course, you know, the Spirit of God pours out his blessings all over his children everywhere. But have you stepped out maybe from under the blessing? You can, you know. And then, of course, usually when I do, or when you do, when we do, we really get upset with God over it. Why is he letting this happen to me? Why is this going on? How come? What about? I've been good. Well, probably not. God blesses that individual. And the individual, what kind of individual are we talking about? Verse 1 says, that delights in him and in his ways. Do you read your Bible and then say, Lord, as I open your word, show me what to do. Give me something to do today. Or do you just say, well, I read my Bible today, I did it, you know, but I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. I'm not about to do this. Wait a minute. That's not it. You're missing it. God bless us. Those individuals that we're talking about here are those that reverence the Lord, that delight greatly in his word. Unto, verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Light, more light is given to the upright, even in darkness, even in times that are difficult, even in times where we struggle, we can trust that God will teach us, that will show us, will help us through. He gives us the light. You know, God cares about you. He's gracious. He has compassion on you. You just don't think so. Because things are hard. Things aren't going your way. Things are kind of falling apart now. And you're thinking, well, wait, what's wrong with God? I thought, and many people tell me that they're angry with God. I'm angry with him. I'm mad at him. That's not wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Knowing God is in control. Wisdom is coming to God and saying, I don't understand, but I'm yours. Here I am. Here I am. Help me. Teach me. Straighten this out. Show me. Light is given to the upright. Jesus is the light of the world. Draw near. Don't wait when it seems to be high clouds and windy and kind of dark. Don't wander off saying I'm upset. Draw near to the Lord. Light will be given to you. You'll begin to understand. You'll begin to grow. Don't back away. The tendency in us is I'm hurt. I'm going to quit this church. I'm hurt. I'm going to back out. There's someone here I don't like. I'm going to not go. And what's happening to us? Things are a little dark. In it, we ought to be saying, Lord, show me how to deal with this. Help me to respond. Teach me what to say and how to do these things. And light will be given to you. He will teach you. A good man, verse 5, showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted. That's his power. Shall be exalted with honor. Those that serve the Lord. Here called the righteous. The upright. Those that serve the Lord. Notice. They give. You say, I am a child of God. I say, I am a Christian. I am a child of God. God is a giver. And when I come into his family, I'm born again. I become a Christian. Then I come into a family where my father is a giver. And I want to grow up to be just like him. Not a taker, but a giver. God so loved the world that he gave. I'm telling you something. If you are a giver, you belong to him and you give, God will channel through you. I don't mean channeling spirits. I mean God will begin to open the windows of heaven and pour it out to you, knowing you're not going to keep it, but you're going to funnel it on through to where it's needed. God is that way. He has never changed. A lot of people say, I don't give to the Lord, but I'm hoping to win the lottery. And if I do, man, I'll give the Lord 10%. Hey, man, if you're not giving him a nickel now, you're not going to give him a nickel then either. You know it. You're not a giver. We got to become givers. How do you do that? First of all, you must be born again. Second of all, you've got to know the one who made you. What is your father like? How does he do it? He gives. Isn't that what we read? Those that serve the Lord don't just give. They are generous. Why? Because they simply trust in God. Period. I don't have to worry about me. Because God will take care of me. He always does. How about you, Christian? Hasn't he so far? Yeah, but not the way I wanted. Way. I know. Yeah, I wanted him. Yeah, I wanted to win the lottery. Just didn't want to buy a ticket. I knew it was a waste of money. Oh, yeah, we all want to do. Yeah, this is the way I wanted it to go. Here's the thing I thought it should be. But it's not going this way. What's the matter with you? And God speaks King James. He goes, not me-eth, you-eth. It's you-eth. Turn around, come here. Come close to me. Under the spout where the glory comes out, I'm pouring out the blessings. You've stepped away. You've wandered off. Come back. Come home. Come to me, Jesus says. Notice they serve others, the righteous do. and they show the Lord's love to others. They're generous. The righteous, these scriptures tell us, shall not be moved. I know you've heard the old gospel song, I'm sure. I shall not be moved. Well, that's what it means. It doesn't mean you can't knock me down. It's not like King of the Hill. What it means is I will keep serving the Lord, and by His strength, by His power, I shall not be moved. I will continue on. And on that day, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Another song. They all make sense, don't they? They come from the scriptures. The righteous shall not be moved. They stand firm in the power of God. In the Lord, the rock of our salvation is Jesus Christ. He takes us out of the muck and the mire, and He sets our feet on solid ground. The rock that is Jesus Christ, the foundation of everything that we're about, is Jesus Christ. I shall not be moved. Things may come my way, strong winds, big waves, real troubles, but by the power of God, I shall not be moved. I'll stay with Him. He'll hold me. I'll trust in Him. I won't give up the ship. I will not let this draw me away. And some of you are in the middle right now of a huge storm, and you're letting it blow you off course. So stop it. And remember, the righteous shall not be moved. The righteous, we also read in verses 5 through 9, walk in faith, and they are not shaken, even if the mountains around you should collapse. You'll still trust in God. If the mountains fall into the ocean, you won't stop following, you won't stop trusting. You will still say, my God is an awesome God. He is in control, even though the mountains themselves crumble. When you see nuclear explosions, you will see the mountains crumble. You'll see lots of the earth just fall apart and go away. But you're not shaken because, why? We read here, the one that is upright, that belongs to the Lord, his heart is fixed. On what? On the Lord. My heart is fixed on the Lord. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart, come what may. Now, that's so easy to read. We could all read it out loud together if we wanted. But where the rubber meets the road is when you walk out of here and you're really rude to that individual or to that group, or when you really start doing, I'm not going to do what you say, God. Shove it up your nose. You wouldn't say it right in the middle of church because people would go, whoa, you're talking to God that way. But you'd say it other places. Hold it. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. God, I do not understand, but thy will be done, not mine. It's time that you and I began to live what we read by the power of the Holy Spirit. The righteous, their heart is established. Now, Jesus says, you'll find him in the New Testament quoting from Deuteronomy. Jesus says that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. Our heart will be established. If I will stay in his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit, I'm weak, but he's strong. If I will stay in fellowship, if I will say, Lord, let me do the things that are pleasing. Let me do what's right. Then my heart is fixed. My heart is established. You'll see that we'll read in the Old Testament, I have set my face like a flint. I mean, this is my direction. They when Jesus was going to Jerusalem and knew that he'd be crucified, the disciples tried to talk him out of going down there. But they gave up trying to talk him out of it because they said you could see in his face that he had determined to go to Jerusalem. The same thing about Paul. You could see in his face that he had determined to go, and they thought, we're wasting our time trying to talk him out of this. I have set my face like a flint. I have decided to follow Jesus. My heart is fixed and established. There is no turning from this. I am a Christian, not just now, not just yesterday, but for the rest of my life. My heart should be fixed, established in Him. Is your heart fixed? Come what may, commitment. From now until He comes back to get me and you, is it your heart that says, I am my beloved's and He is mine. I will, Lord, do what you say. Give me your Holy Spirit without measure. Fill me to overflowing that I would do your will. Because sometimes His will isn't what I wanted to do. Have you experienced that lately? Sometimes His will causes conflict. Sometimes it puts you head to head with somebody. God says to Jeremiah, I'm going to give you a head solid like a rock. And you can beat your head against the others and you'll win. That's coming up in Jeremiah. We're studying through Jeremiah on Monday nights. God says, I'm going to just give you a super rock head. You just continue to preach the word of God and stand against all who butt heads with you. His heart's established. His heart is fixed. Is your heart fixed? The righteous heart is established, fixed. Verse 10, the last verse of this chapter. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall die, perish. So, in other words, everyone, now here's a simple choice. We've been talking about the righteous all the way through verse 9. Now let's just talk about the unrighteous in verse 10. You see, it's just the opposite for the wicked. You want to be one of the wicked? You choose to be one of the wicked? Then figure, those without the Lord are powerless, without any power. Wherever the wind blows, they must go. Wherever the waves force them, they must go. They have no choice in the matter. They have no say. They are driven by Satan himself. They fear many, many things. They are people with no hope at all. You see, the desire of the wicked shall perish. Look at the world, and we're hearing people say, there is no hope. Well, there isn't. Unless you are born again. If you are born again, there is hope. But only hope in Jesus Christ. There is no hope coming up. Take a look around. And I mean, you don't have to be a political whiz to see that this whole thing is a mess. And there is no hope except for Jesus Christ. Now, why step out from under His protection, under His wings, and get out there on your own and try to work it out yourself? When you know what's going to happen to the wicked. To those who don't listen to the Lord. So you have a choice to make tonight. We'll go on to the next chapter, but your choice is easy. My choice is easy. To be righteous, which is to be in Jesus Christ, or to be one of the wicked. To be without Jesus Christ and without hope. Again, we begin, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. His name is holy. We've talked about it. Don't take His name in vain. Instead, praise His name. Live so that others will praise His name. Christian, don't let yourself be caught outside the walls of the church using language that does not befit a child of God. Because you don't have to use God's name explicitly to take His name in vain. Because when a marriage takes place, used to be, when a marriage takes place, that woman would get rid of her maiden name and take on the name of the family she was marrying into. And that if she became a wayward wife, it was said that she took that family's name in vain. In other words, she took on that last name and she's defiling that last name. We come into the family of God. We take on the name of our Father. We say, I am a Christian. You could take His name in vain without ever saying His name by simply not bringing glory to the name of God. Where we work, where we live, where we go to school, whatever. Praise the name of the Lord. His name is holy. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. From sunrise to sunset. Many of you, at this point in time, because it is semi-sort of winter, many of you aren't up when the sun rises. I hope most of you are up when the sun sets, unless you guys work at night or something like that. Sun sets like at 5:30. You should be up. But think about it. What's the point? I mean, is he saying you got to see the sunrise? No. What's the point? The point is from the beginning of your day till your day ends, the entire day should be spent praising the Lord. From the time the sun comes up to the time the sun goes down. From the time you get up and you hit the floor or run it until the time you lay back down and say, Lord, get me out of here. Till all that time, the name of the Lord should be praised, especially by me and you. By us Christians, we ought to be praising God all through the day. From the time it starts till the time it's over. And then when you get up the next morning, here we go again. This is a day that the Lord has made. Lord, let's do it. Let's go for it. Verse 4 says, the Lord is high above all nations. The Lord's even higher than the UN. And His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high. The Lord God Almighty is high above everything and everybody. He's high above the heavens. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. I don't know what you think of Him. But I hope that you worship and praise Him and know that His name is worthy to be praised, that God is good and He's big. And who is like the Lord our God? Can you think of anything or anybody that is like the Lord our God? Of course, the answer is no. There is none like the Lord. None. There is no one, there is nothing that compares to the Lord our God. No one and nothing. He is awesome in power. He is kind. He is full of compassion and full of mercy. He is full of grace and He is so patient with us. There is no one that compares to God. No one has ever treated me as well as He has treated me. No one has ever dealt with you or treated you the way the Lord God has dealt with you and treated you and still does, even when you and I drift and wander and spit and kick and fight and even just run away from Him. I tried that with my mother one time. You ever try to run from your parents? My mother was in a prisoner of war camp for almost 2 years in Germany. She was in the Italian army. At about 8 years old, she was going to spank me. And I ran. About the second 6-foot fence that I made it over, she was still with me. I gave up. I thought, she'll kill me. I'm just going to have to let you. And who is like the Lord? He's faster than my mother. He is bigger and tougher than that. You can't run from Him. You can try, but you cannot run. And some of you, I think, are. You've stepped out and you're trying to run. He's going to get you. And oh, when He gets you. I remember if she'd have just swatted me there, it would have been all right. But boy, she was mad now when she got there because I made her sweat. And so she switched me all the way back over two fences and all the way home. Whoa. Child abuse. Who is like the Lord our God? He dwells on high. Do you have trouble? Do you have heartache? Are you scared of something? Are you afraid of something? Have you gone to Him and told Him so? Tell Him, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid. I don't think I can do this. I don't know what to do now. I don't know how to do what You want me to do. I don't know what You want me to do. Tell Him. Who is like unto the Lord our God? You can tell God anything. You can sit and talk with Him. And as long as you want to talk, He'll listen. When you stop, He'll also speak to you and begin to tell you how to do it. He'll strengthen you. Oh, my goodness. The Lord. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, speaking about the Lord, humbles himself, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. He humbles himself. God humbles himself. He stoops down low to even look at heaven and the heavens and the earth. God stoops to look at this. This is so much below him. He humbles himself. And he is great and high above all. But he loves you so much, he humbles himself and he looks closely and watches and he pays attention to what's going on in your life and in my life. God, who has all the universe at his command, still stops and says, how's Bob doing? And he checks and he's there. And he teaches me and he teaches you and he walks with me and he'll talk with you. And you can tell him and he'll say, I'm listening. Trust me. Come with me. I'll take care of it. And he'll begin to handle your problems. Wow. He also raises the poor up. Didn't he raise you and me up? The poor and needy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who recognize I have no hope without him. Blessed. Oh, how happy are they. He raises up the poor and the needy. He is the Savior and there is no other. He lifts us up out of the miry clay, I mentioned this earlier, out of the muck. Puts us on the rock, Jesus Christ. You know, God blesses. He makes the barren woman to keep house. To have children. What does he mean? I've talked to men and I've talked to women who say, the doctor told me I would never have children. And what happened to you? We have four. And then I've talked to men and to women. We're perfectly healthy. The doctors see nothing wrong with us. We've been married 30 years. We still don't have children. What do you think's going on? Who do you think is in control? God can do anything. You see, God is the giver of life. Go back and read through 1 Samuel, just at the very beginning, if you can't get too far at the very beginning, where there's this lady so brokenhearted that she has no children, and God gives her children. Go back and take a look at Abraham's wife, Sarai, later name changed to Sarah. She was 90 years old when she had a baby. Oh, man. Now, those of you that have been with your wives when that was going on, you're glad you weren't with Sarah. No, it's okay. Everything went fine and she even left. So it's all right. It's God, everybody. You need something? You're looking for something? You want to be used? Whatever it is, are you crying out to God? Have you just turned your life over to him and say, my life is in your hands. Here I am. You do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Here I am. We go, because he ends it with praise the Lord, to chapter 1:14. We're screaming tonight, aren't we? When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. Here he's recalling, the psalmist recalls God's mighty power. As God delivered his people, he delivered them out of Egypt. Hey, he has delivered me out of the world. How about you, Christian? He has delivered you. And he's recalling God's mighty power. Hey, hasn't God done a work in you? I don't think he's finished with me. I mean, boy, that's obvious. I don't think he's finished with you. But hasn't he begun a work in you that others would have never dreamed that was going to be? When I went to a high school reunion, I've told you this. And people say, what do you do? I say, I pastor at Calvary Chapel. And the people say, no way. Quit joking. Tell us what you do. No, I really do. They say, there is no way it can't be. And then they make this statement. I would never go to a church that you were the pastor of. I mean, they knew. I'll give you their numbers. You can check with them. They're saying, can't be, it can't be, it's impossible. Oh man, look at the power of God. You say, I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. And your friends go, you're crazy. I remember you. I remember your high school days. I remember you in the Navy. I've seen you lately. Come on. No, I just gave my life to the Lord. No. How many of you have been told that? I'm born again. I'm born again today. No. Nah, not you. No, really? No. Haven't you had people? I had that said to me. I was born again. People say, no. You couldn't get into heaven. I mean, you couldn't fight your way in. Because I was always fighting with somebody. Can't be. No, I'm saved. I got saved just the other night at a Billy Graham crusade. They go, no. I'm sorry. I won't even believe that. How many people have said the same things to some of you? You're not saved. You're just doing it because you need somebody to help you. You're not saved, man. You're just trying to get somebody to like you. Well, if you are just trying to get somebody to like you or trying to get your way, repent. But if you're truly born again, don't you let anybody, because the devil's going to try to tell you it's not real. Oh, it's real. Hey, look at this. The mighty power of God. He delivered his people. They're in Israel. God has placed his sanctuary, verses 1 through 4 tell us. They're in the land of Judah, in the city of Jerusalem. The Red Sea and even the Jordan. Remember, the Jordan did this same as well. It parted and God's people came across into the land, into the promised land. That's the power of God. God's still in the business of using his power for his own glory. Can he do miracles? Yes, he can. God is not a freak show or a sideshow to where he does a miracle when you command it just to show your friends. It doesn't work that way. But God is almighty. He is powerful. And he's reminding us in verses 1 through 4 of the power of God. Verse 5 says, what ailed thee, O thou sea? He's talking to the water now. That thou fleddest or ran away. Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back. Ye mountains that you skip like rams and ye little hills like lambs. The point here, he's saying, why did you do that? Why waters? Why did you part Red Sea? Why did you part Jordan so they could walk across? Why did you do that? What ails you? I mean, what got into you? You know what his point is here? All of creation recognizes the power of God Almighty. All of creation bows to the Lord God Almighty. All of creation. All creation obeys his voice. To this day, except for mankind. Fallen mankind. All of creation. God controls the wind. God controls the waves. God controls it all. And still you've got a free will to spit in his face if you want to. And they did. There. Before they hung him on the cross. They mocked him. They pulled his hair. They spit in his face. He's coming back. God's power is evident throughout creation. Tremble, thou earth, verse 7, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Once again, the power of God. He tells the earth, he tells creation, to continue to tremble before the Lord. The water from the rock. What a miracle. That's a reminder to every one of us. That's a miracle. Jesus Christ was that rock. Can you imagine over 1.5 million people with no water for miles and miles around, and Moses speaks to that rock, and water gushes out of a dry rock. You think, Man, if I saw that, that would change my life. I don't think so. Because it didn't change the hearts of those children of Israel. They still whined and complained when they got thirsty. Water coming out of a rock, a dry rock in the desert. The rock followed them around. 1 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. All of the children of Israel did all eat the same spiritual food, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. What a miracle. Hey, what a miracle for Jesus to come down here, take on human flesh, live and put up with all of this, go to the cross and shed his blood for me and you. What a miracle. Psalm 115. This will be the last one we do. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? The psalmist humbles himself here in Psalm 115. And this is what he says. Lord, it's not us. It's not about us. You mean it's not all about me? No, it's not us. We deserve no honor. We deserve no praise. We deserve no honor. You, Lord God, deserve all honor and all praise, and it should never change. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name. You see, it's not about me. It's all about him. You were thinking it was all about you. All I want to be is happy. All I want to do is just have this. That's all I want. And I don't care what it's going to take to get it. Wait a minute. It is not about me. It is about him. Not unto us, but unto him be the glory. I know. I forget that sometimes too. It's not me and you that should be exalted. It's not you and I, not me and you, that should get our way. It's not you and I that should be looking for our own happiness. What is it? It's that God should be exalted and praised and worshiped. What else are we doing here? This light affliction, life, is short, but for a moment. But it brings about, I'm paraphrasing, that eternal weight of glory. There is so much more beyond this that you can't see with your physical eyes yet. And because you can't, you're choosing to fight and claw and grasp and be bitter. And you're choosing to make it down here. Dig in. It's kind of like Christians are saying about this tribulation. I'm going to dig in, buy some bullets, and I'm going to make it. Wait a minute, you got the wrong attitude. He is the Lord my God. I'm going to give myself to him. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. It's all about you, not us. He should be praised and he should be worshipped. Then he goes on in verse 2 and says, don't let the heathen say, where is their God? The heathen were saying that, okay, so you belong to God. Well, where is he? Why doesn't he help you now? They said that to Jesus on the cross. Where's your God now? Come on down from the cross. Well, where is your God? How come you're, if you're the Son of God, where's your Father at? Come on, come down here, save yourself. Then we'll believe. They're mocking him. Where is your God? They were saying that to David. They were saying that to the psalmist. They say it to you sometimes too. They see this go on in the world. They look at you and go, hey, where's your God when this is happening? You know what the answer is. Somebody asked us, where was God on 9/11? Same place he was 9/10 and the same place he was 9/12. Still sitting on the throne in complete control. He has not left the throne and he will not leave the throne. Jesus Christ will return, but God Almighty, God the Father, will remain on the throne. God is in control of this wobbly planet. He is. He says, don't let the heathen say, where's your God? Verse 3, but our God, there's the answer, everyone, I gave it to you. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Whoa. That, I think, every Christian ought to memorize. Our God is in the heavens, and he does just what he wants. He does what's pleasing to him, and I have already learned, so have you, everything he does is good. Everything he does is really right on. You don't have to worry that he's made a mistake in your life. He does not make mistakes. I've had people tell me, I think I have married the wrong woman. No, of course, women say, I married the wrong guy. I say, really, show me your marriage license. Bring it to me. And when they bring it, you know what? I said, oh, no, it's the right one. Show me your ID, dude. Yeah, that's the guy. That's the right one. There, that's the end of that counseling session. Now what do you want to do? Oh, no, you got the right one. The guy says to me, man, my wife is driving me crazy. I said to him, it's not a drive for you. It's a putt. You're already on the green. Then he wanted to talk to Clayton. No, you got the right one. God knows just what you need, man. Just what you need. He's going to chip off that ugliness and that. He's going to work on that heart. You got just what you needed. I did. Then you? You sure did. Iron sharpens iron. And my wife goes 1,000 miles to the left, and I go 1,000 miles to the right, and sometimes we'll bump into one another. Pew, there are sparks. But boy, we're getting smooth. If we live, man, are we going to be smooth, really well put together. See, our God is high and lifted up. He's above the heavens. He is in complete control. I'm telling you, a lot of people don't want to hear it, especially Christians who want their own way. This isn't the way I want it. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. What does he want? All things are according to his will, according to his plan. He has not forgotten me. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten us. He knows what he's doing. You know, I've explained it to you. I had it explained to me this way one time. God takes me and he begins to make me into something. And so he's in the kitchen and he's putting a lot of things into my life and he's got me in a mixing bowl and he is stirring me and I'm getting pushed around by this kind of big wooden spoon. That kind of freaks me because my mom would, you know, spank me with that every once in a while too. And I see God smacking me in the head with it. And he's mixing you up pretty good. But you see, I'm complaining a little bit, but here's what's going on. I'm watching him work with you guys. And he puts in 3 cups of sugar in your life. I get none. Salt. So you know me while the spoon's coming around. Hey, you know, so-and-so, they got a lot of sugar. What are you doing? He says, I know what I'm making. Trust me. Then he sticks you in the oven and me in the oven. Sticks you in for 30 minutes at 200. And you go whining. Puts me in at 350 and I'm in there 45 minutes. She's out already. Look, I'm going to burn. What does God say? I know what I'm doing. I'm going to make you a masterpiece. Then he flips me upside down. Boom. I turn out, I'm going to be pineapple upside down something when he's done. And you're still right side up. What are you whining about? What does the Bible teach us? That's exactly what the Bible's saying. He knows what he's doing. His will is always good for you and good for me. Sometimes you think you're in the oven too long, but he knows what he is making. Should the thing formed say to the one that formed him, why have you made me this way? No, we should trust him because he's making you into something. Everything I made in wood shop was a shoebox. I am not God. But when God makes you something, you're going to be beautiful. A vase. If it's below $5, it's a vase. He's making you a vase. You'll be $5 and a penny or up. You'll be worth it. Verse 4 says, even though God knows what he's doing and he has done what he has pleased. Their idols, those who don't listen to God, don't follow God, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes. Or eyes they have, excuse me, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they can't smell. They smell that. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. You see, those are idols. Those are false gods. Those are things that people are following that are not real, that are not good, that have no power. They have mouths, they have eyes, they have ears, they have noses. They have hands, they have feet. They can't speak, though. They can't see, they can't hear, they can't even smell things, they can't handle things, and they can't even walk or get around. I mean, imagine having your little God. You got to move to the new neighborhood, you got to pack him up and bring him with you. Oh, we forgot God. Oh, I hope the people that bought our home, I hope they take care of him. And Israelites kind of thought that way when the Ark of the Covenant was captured. Remember, Israel thought, oh, they captured God. Oh, man, we're in big trouble. You can't capture God. You know, kind of how embarrassing to take your little God, set him on there, and if you want him to come in the living room and meet everybody, you got to go get him. He doesn't talk. He can't see. He can't hear. But we worship this dude. We bow in everything. We follow him. They're stuck in one place all the time. They, verse 8, is a killer verse. I don't know if you've ever seen it. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. You know what that means in American? They that make them become just like them. Did you hear that? Let's just say it another way. People who trust in false gods become like those gods. They become like them. Let's just break it down and go further, one step further. What God has just said is what you worship, you will begin to act like. The God that you worship, you will begin to talk like and act like. There's a television program, I've never seen it. It's called American Idol. I mean, does that say it all or what? I mean, there you don't even have to watch it now, Christian, because you already know. There was a commercial the other night, and we don't watch TV much. We were looking for news. I want to watch the war. We were looking for news, and there was a commercial for a program called Are You Hot? And I said to my wife, yeah, I'm kind of hot. So we'll just open the door. It'll be all right. I don't think that's what they meant. American Idol. America's got a lot of idols. You know, you're probably not into the music scene, and Britney Spears is sort of, you know, she's on the flaming downside. But she's worshipped. I see some of the kids in this church worship her. I see they dress just like her. See, you begin to dress like your God. You begin to walk like them, talk like them, dress like them, act like them. If you worship space aliens, you'll begin to dress like them. Have you seen the news? Have you looked around? You will. You'll begin to try and eat like them. I saw Michael Jackson. It was kind of a commercial. And he was walking through a zoo. And there were like hundreds of people following him, and they were wearing the same kind of hat that he would wear. Some of them had a glove on like he wears. And I thought, you become like your God. You begin to walk like, talk like, look like, and think like the one that you worship. Have you seen Elvis impersonators? Those guys are weird. I mean, they think they're Elvis. And you think, what? Who do you worship? It'll show. It'll show in the way you start dressing. It'll show in the things you watch. It'll show in the things that you think and that you say. All of us, It'll show who we worship. You can take a look at someone's checkbook and it'll show who they worship. It's a lot of things. This verse is powerful. We won't spend 3 days on it, but we could all by itself. I mean, we could go on and on and on. If you worship the ascended masters, as the New Age movement gets in touch with the ascended masters, their higher selves. Well, you begin to think like them. Ramtha, 35,000-year-old warrior. You begin to think. There is no heaven out there. There is no hell. There is only peace and goodness. And the forces of Shambhala, the 66 masters of Shambhala, Jesus supposedly one of them, and they come from out of Atlantis. And, I mean, the thing goes on and on and on. And you start thinking that way and talking that way and building your life around things just like that. What the verse says is such an indictment to our society. They that make these idols are like them, and so is everyone that trusts in them. You know, as a Muslim, you're one of the idols, one of those that you follow is Muhammad, 6th century Persia. You dress like that. You even eat like that from 6th century. Now, and take a look at some of the cults and the occult. Just start thinking about what you know about them. They become like what they worship. They talk like, walk like, dress like, and act like. What should you and I be becoming like? The one that we worship. If we're not, then the chances are good we are not worshiping God. Because when you get into His Word and you begin to fellowship and you begin to pray and you begin to grow in the Lord, you'll be dressing accordingly. You'll be thinking accordingly. You'll be walking accordingly, and we'll all be acting accordingly. Surprisingly, it's true. It's what God says. My goodness. I mean, it can go on and on and on. O Israel, verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I mean, those three verses are pretty easy to understand. You and I, all that truly belong to the Lord, should begin right away, immediately, to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord now. He is our help. He is our defense. He is our hope. He is all. The song says it. He is everything to me. It's God, the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what it's all about. My life is in His hands. Your life is in His hands. I don't just do what I please. I mean, on the smallest things, I need to say, Lord, what do you say? Lord, tell me what you think. Lord, what is your will? I could do this or I could do this, but Lord, what do you want done? And what are we told? Trust in the Lord. O Israel, trust in the Lord. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. You that reverence God, trust in the Lord. The Lord hath been mindful of us. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say amen to that. Has He? Has God thought about me and you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God has been mindful of me throughout my life. When I confess to you that there are times when I wasn't thinking about Him. And He was still thinking about me. Of course, sent me to my room a couple of times because I wasn't thinking about Him and got myself in trouble. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Underline that. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that reverence Him, both small and great, important and unimportant. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh man, I like these verses. There's some verses I go, oh man, he's getting me. But I like these. Don't you? I mean, how could you not like this? Trust in the Lord God Almighty. He has been mindful of you. He has been caring for you. He's been working in your life. He has blessed you, and the Bible right here says He will continue to bless you. He has blessed me. He's going to continue it. He has blessed you. He's not going to stop. He will continue to bless you. And it says continually. By the way, it doesn't just mean through this life I've got here. Through all eternity, God will continue to bless you. Your blessings aren't finished just when you get to heaven. I mean, it's just starting, and God's going to continue to bless. Give your life to God through Jesus Christ. And listen closely. Nothing held back. Nothing. Give your whole heart to it. Present your body to Him and say, Lord, I am yours. You say, I've done it. Oh, man, maybe you have. But maybe you've sort of pulled back on Him. Maybe you've sort of changed your mind on some issues. It's time again. Why not? What's wrong with saying tonight, me and you together, Lord, I give you my life. I'm yours. He will bless and care for you. And you too, I think, will say like David, so will I, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Christian, have you caught yourself lately saying, you know, and I want this, and I want this to change. You know, I really want this. Wait a minute. You know what I want? Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. I shall not want. Because my shepherd will give to me everything I need. He will bless me out of my socks. He'll open the windows of heaven and pour it out on me so much that I can't even contain it all. God wants to do that in my life. He is my shepherd. And if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't need anything else. Unless I'm really not following Him at all. I say I'm His, but I'm really wanting that over there, those back there. I really want this instead. I've changed my mind. No. Lord, I'm yours. I'm in your hands. Make me. Go ahead. If I have to stay in the oven longer than those people over there, if we have to stay in the oven, maybe if the temperature's a little warmer on us, He knows just what He's going to do when we're done, and we're going to be great. The heaven, verse 16, even the heaven are the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. What a thought. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down to silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Verse 16 through 18, we just read, everything belongs to the Lord. Everything. And this earth, He has allowed mankind to run it. How are we doing? Pitiful. Thank you. He leaves us here to work this earth and to dwell here and to take dominion over all these animals and things. And how have we done it? I mean, the universe is running great, although it's running down. But how's it going down here? Take a look at the news. Take a look at around the planet. How are we handling it? Boy, we're doing great. If Jesus doesn't step in, we're going to destroy the place. We're going to blow it to smithereens because we finally have the technology. We're going to do it. We're going to crush this planet. It'll be gone if He doesn't step in. And the Bible says He's going to step in before we literally destroy the entire planet. Now, 20, 30 years ago, that couldn't happen. But praise God, we finally can do it. Turn us loose and we could destroy the thing that we're living on. We could do that right now. We've got the technology. God will not let that happen. You can rest assured He said so. Wow. We are His and we'll continue to praise Him and worship Him forever and ever. That's what He says. Open your heart. No matter what your circumstances are tonight. Open your heart. Praise Him. For He is worthy to be praised. Worship Him. Give Him all your praise. Give Him all your heart. He is the Lord God Almighty. You can't read through these Psalms. You just can't do it and walk away going, I wonder if we ought to praise. I wonder if God's big. I wonder if he's in control. I wonder if he cares about me. You can't wonder those things. I mean, you'd have to completely ignore everything that's been said. He loves you. He's in control. He's going to use you so that others can see Jesus. You will, Christian, if you'll simply trust him, you will bring glory to him. You will. I know now you say I'm weak and I don't know what I'm doing. Don't let the anchor loose. Jesus Christ, God's word, you need that solid footing. There's your anchor. You stay right there and ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God says. Don't wander to the left or the right. The Holy Spirit will say, this is the way. Walk in this. It's time to turn our lives over to him. Give it all back. Start brand new again. Let's bow our heads.